We are back. LasVegasSun.com 2013 football woo, edition woo. Of Prep Sports Now. Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. We're going to talk all things football. Hopefully, we're going to have a better debut this year than some of the teams we're going to talk about did. And that's not meant mean-spirited or anything. It's just it was not a good first weekend for the Nevada team, so I know you're always rooting for Brewer. I think Faith Lutheran, Bishop Gorman, and Liberty, trying to do the math real quick in my head, so excuse me if it's not exactly right, but I think they lost something like a combined 110 to 35, and it really might not have even been that close. I think Gorman made a late run. Maybe Liberty and Faith Lutheran's touchdowns came when they didn't really matter, so not the best first weekend.
Not the first best weekend, you're right. In case before we get going, we'd like to thank our friends at the Department of Public Safety. They are sponsoring the show and all our high school football coverage this year. It's their distracted driving campaign. They want everybody to, you know, not text, not goof around in the car, get from point A to point B safely, no accidents on the road. So don't be distracted when you drive. Thanks to the Nevada Department of Public Safety. We love those guys. A lot. They're awesome. They're giving us a lot of resources to talk to you guys about high school football.
I didn't get the memo. Is it still eyes on the road, hands on the wheel this
year?
That
was last year. We've evolved to distracted driving.
Okay.
Yeah. Eliminate distracted driving.
All right, but still, it's a good rule to live by. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, exactly. Even if we don't say it every week.
Exactly. And, yeah, I was out at both the Liberty and Gorman games this week, and they went 0-2 in the Sullenberger Classic. Liberty, a lot of inexperienced players getting their first varsity game. And to Tucson South Point Catholic's credit, that's a pretty good team. And Liberty just didn't match up. They're breaking in a lot of new things, and it's going to take a while for them to get their footing. But it's crazy how on Twitter and on the internet, it's like blood in the water with Sharks. You know, Liberty struggles a little bit. All of a sudden now Green Valley is the team to beat in the Sunrise. And other teams think they got a chance to dethrone Liberty, the three-time champions. Gorman loses to Mountain Point, who, by the way, is a really, 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 really super good team. And all the kids from Palo all of a sudden have muscles. And they think that this is the year they're going to beat Gorman. So it's fun to talk about. These local teams facing national opponents, and it's just a shame that Vegas went 0-3. And this Friday and Saturday, Vegas gets another shot against local opponents: Gorman against Servite, Liberty at Centennial Corona, Centennial High from Vegas at J. Sierra Catholic, and Spring Valley and Coronado in Idaho for a tournament. And it might get ugly this week.
A tournament?
Yeah, it's like a four-team event.
But they're not playing the winner, are they?
No. Okay. It's a four-team event at Idaho State.
All right.
Tournament was the wrong word.
Okay, yeah, just making sure. I had seen some of the feedback. I think it's crazy, and we'll get to all this, that some teams think that Gorman is now vulnerable. I still think they're a level above all their rivals, but I guess it's good to give them some hope. And God, I can't believe it just snuck up on me. I didn't realize Liberty is the three-time defending Sunrise champion until you said it. That's a pretty good run they got going there.
They haven't lost to a Sunrise team. And there's two schools of thought: is one, the program's evolved, versus two, a lot of the success was kind of coup of the quarterback, Nico Capelli, the running back. Saturday, both of those off playing college football somewhere, and Liberty's offense looked totally different. They didn't have the star running back. In fact, they didn't run the ball as much. Tyler Newman is the quarterback, and there was a lot more spread, a lot more passing plays. Tough to really gauge Liberty because this team from Tucson was just so good. It's like college football, Case. You're a Georgia fan, right? Who does Georgia open with this year?
Clemson. It's going to be
Clemson. It's a tough game. Okay.
It's going to be tough.
There goes that argument.
At Clemson, I think, too.
But usually it's like Wisconsin opens against UNLV. UNLV gets a big check. Wisconsin gets to go through some of the motions. They don't have to hit each other, and they get some experience to move on to play Ohio State and Michigan. Well, Liberty jumped right out and they played Ohio State and they jumped Michigan and played Michigan. And, you know, clearly they weren't ready for it. I think when push comes to shove, these younger players are going to be good. Is that going to happen this year? Could this be the year we see a Green Valley win the region possibly? Would Green Valley have done better against the team from Tucson? It's just tough to say because that other team was so good, and the team Liberty plays this week is ranked in the top 15 of every poll.
Yeah, it definitely makes some good points there, and I think it's going to be really interesting to watch Liberty season. Maybe this is – it's just stunning to me. It seems like – to me, I just have this vision of Liberty in my mind. It's still kind of the upstart program that's coming on strong. But now it's been 3 years. I think the trivia answer would be the last team they lost to was that Canyon Springs in the playoffs, the last Sunrise Region team they lost to.
Did they lose to Canyon in the playoffs that first year?
I thought so.
No, because I thought that was the game Hunky went for two and they stopped them. And then they lost in the semis that year to Del Sol, I think.
Okay.
The year Del Sol went to the state game.
Still, it's been a while. I mean, that we have to think about it says that how strong they've been, which is pretty crazy. I actually – this doesn't change my thinking on the Sunrise, Brewer, and I think you know why. I think you're high on this team too. Welcome to kind of an entire different tone from us than last year, but I was picking Green Valley to win the Sunrise before Liberty lost 48-7. And I'm still picking them. I love this Green Valley team. Last year when I watched that offense and looked down the roster and saw the ages of all these guys, I was like, man, they're going to be awesome next year. And I think that I think the defense lost some key guys, but I know they run a good program over there, and I think they're going to be on the upswing. So I guess when we're going to start talking about teams, where else to start but Green Valley since we're in the Sunrise. I love this team. I am picking them to win the region.
You know, I really love this team as well, and I think for me it starts up front in the trenches. You know, you got a kid, Tyrell Crosby, committed to Oregon. That's a pretty good starting point. And you're right, the offense. Christian Lopez, Marcus Varner at wide receivers. Connor Perkins, also the kicker, plays wide receiver. Gio Hernandez, who is a great all-around player, offense and defense. And then the running game with Larry Norman, the transfer from Arborview.
The sixth and seventh guys you mentioned are Gio Hernandez and Larry Norman.
And Albert Lake, who is supposed to be...
eighth guy or something you mentioned.
So they've got eight solid players, seven or eight solid offensive players. The only problem, Case, is none of those guys we're talking about can make a tackle.
How do you know?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they can.
Hernandez plays both ways.
Hernandez plays both ways. Albert Lake will play both ways at defensive back. But it's not like this is a middle linebacker or defensive lineman. We asked Castro, the coach, to write down his top five, six, seven players. He wrote down offensive lineman, wide receiver slash DB, cornerback, wide receiver slash quarterback, running back, even though those two guys either play DB. What he doesn't write down is the guys that are going to tackle you. The linebackers, the defensive linemen, they lose literally everybody from last year. When they couldn't even beat Coronado. And
Coronado was good. Let's not act like that was some...
That was an upset, though. Coronado went Green Valley.
When you say they couldn't even beat Coronado, I think if it was couldn't even, you can say like Del Sol.
Micah Klorman, who was supposed to be their best defender, hurts his leg in camp. So, for me, Green Valley is going to be able to score with the best of them. They'll be able to score on Liberty, which we saw. But are they going to be able to stop anybody? Are they going to have to beat people 58-52? And that's obviously an exaggeration, but how are they going to beat people? Now, in the Northeast, you're going to make the playoffs because Rancho and Valley are assumed to be the fifth and sixth team. So you're kind of playing for seeding. Silverado is supposed to be improved. Canyon Springs has always got good players. And Vegas is always going to be Vegas with who I think is the best tailback in Andrew Moreland, and I think you might agree with me, and Jacob Littlefield, the linebacker, who makes, quite frankly, every tackle. And Vegas had a ton of sophomores. If you're talking about young talent, Vegas has probably the best young talent in that league. So I think Green Valley has got a chance to really do something, but if they can't play defense, you know – Let me ask you this question. Okay, we saw what Liberty did. Liberty's got a lot of sophomores that are quick and talented and that I think are going to eventually be good. Okay. How would have Green Valley played Saturday against this team? Or how would have Green Valley played Friday instead of Gorman?
I think they probably would have lost by a lot Friday and probably Saturday too, but maybe just because they're a little more experienced, they put up a better fight Saturday.
Okay, how much of what happened to Gorman, which, by the way, they only lost by 7 points, and they showed a lot of good things, and what happened Saturday to Liberty was because of a lot of inexperienced first-time guys playing?
I mean, a little bit, but I can't say a lot. You can't lose 48-7 and say, oh, well, give us 2 weeks. We'll get them back.
They gave up 4 passing touchdowns, Liberty, in the first quarter.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it doesn't play into it.
And their DBs are sophomores, freshmen, sophomores.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't play into it, but if you lose by 41 points.
You're going to lose regardless.
Yeah.
Amen. I hear you on that. But would have Green Valley and its roster of kind of first-time defensive players fared any better? I mean, right now, I think everybody's like I said earlier, blood's in the water. Let's pick on Liberty. Well, hold on. It's still 3-time defending region champs.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm saying okay. That. But and I said, even before this game, I told you I like Green Valley and the Sunrise.
And I did our top 10, and I picked Green Valley ahead of Liberty. So, obviously, I do like them. The matchup, I hope we get Green Valley-Liberty because we're not guaranteed to get that game. It would have to be in the playoffs. The matchup I would love to see is Noah Jefferson from Liberty against Tyrell Crosby. Case, Noah Jefferson is a big, quick, physical kid. He's a junior, and obviously Tyrell Crosby's going to Oregon. I could watch those two go at each other all day, and it would be fun.
You're saying there's like concerns on the defensive line, which it looks like is the case. They don't have any standouts. So why can't you throw Crosby on there?
Well, I think he obviously is going to have – I think when it's push comes to shove, if you get a kid going to Oregon, you play him both ways, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well,
I think he'd be an unfair comparison, but I'm thinking who was the last huge offensive lineman prospect we had in town?
Ronnie
Stanley. They ended up playing him on defense some that year at Gorman because I think they had injuries. And the game I was at, he was sick. I mean, he was a great defensive lineman. I think Crosby maybe could do – maybe he's not quite as quick, but could do some of the same things.
We'll see.
Probably just as quick.
I mean, do you want to wear the guy out when he's so key to blocking for your quarterback?
High school football. Yes. You got to play both sides if you're that good.
Well, I agree.
I'm not speaking for Green Valley. Maybe they disagree, and they're the coaches. They know better than me. But for me, I say absolutely no doubt. Okay. I want my best players on the field.
Because I know, like, last year, Liberty didn't put Nakua in on defense until, like, the ball crossed midfield. Until late in the year when he played the whole time.
Yeah, I can understand that a little more. I mean, that was a guy, he had the ball in his hands every single play. A lot of times
But your asset, if you're Green Valley, is not Crosby. It's Christian Lopez, your junior quarterback, who could run and throw, and for all intents and purposes, will likely be a D1 quarterback. Do you take your most valuable commodity, Tyrell Crosby, who's blocking for this boy? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, By the way, just got a text from Lake Tahoe guy. Give my regards to Case. Good afternoon. Let me know when the podcast is up. We're working on it, all right?
All right. Well, yeah, I think if there's a chance, you play them both ways if you can. So that's my feelings. I think we've pretty much wrapped it up on Green Valley.
Okay.
Who's next? Who's the next team in this?
Well, let's just talk about Canyon Springs.
All right.
Green Valley beat Canyon Springs on a Connor Perkins field goal at the buzzer last year. The Pioneers, they lose Donnell Pumphrey to San Diego State, who was your favorite player for the last, year and a half, 2 years?
Gatorade Player of the Year.
Player of the Year, Case Kiefer. I would say for the last 3 seasons, he was arguably the best player on the field when Canyon Springs played. And he probably had the ball in his hand at every significant moment. I will also say there was a point where he got banged up a little bit late last year, and Zavante Stevenson came in, and who's a junior now, and he played admirably. I really think that Canyon Springs is going to be okay. They've got plenty of speed guys. The question with them has always been, could you block up front? Pumphrey was so good that sometimes when they didn't block up front, he was still able to create. I don't know if Stevenson has that ability. We will find out. I still think Canyon is going to really put a lot of pressure on Green Valley, and I bet you those guys at Canyon think they're going to win. Isaiah Carter, solid linebacker. Rayshon Henderson, two-time Las Vegas Sun preseason team on the defensive line, as good as they come by on the high school level. Diamante Luna, super athletic, super quick. A.J. Carter, Raekwon Bascom, I think that's how you say the name. Correct me if I'm wrong. At DB, I would not be surprised if Canyon beat Green Valley. The games at Canyon this year, last week of the regular season, I will likely be picking the Pioneers.
Yeah, I'm just as high on Canyon Springs as I was any other year. They actually have the opposite thing going on as what we talked about Green Valley. I mean, they have a bunch of guys coming back on a defense that played pretty well last year. The Rayshon Henderson kid is great. I didn't realize he was only a junior last year. I think he's one of the best defensive players in town. And against a team like Green Valley, it looks like on paper maybe they match up okay, because you know Green Valley's going to sling the ball around. Well, they got Luna and A.J. Cooper in the defensive backfield, who I think one of the games I was at last year, A.J. Cooper may have had, or maybe just had one, he might have had two interceptions, one with like a ridiculous return. So I think they've got some defensive backs. They've really got a strong linebacking core. You mentioned some of the guys to go along with Henderson. So I think Canyon Springs is going to be really good again.
What a big boy matchup that's going to be. The passing game with Varner and Perkins at wide receiver, and the transfer from Valley, Green Valley has it run at wide receiver against Luna, Cooper, and Bascom. Let the big boys play, and Rayshon Henderson just coming right up the gut. I think that's going to be fireworks. What a great game.
Yeah, it should be. I still lean Green Valley in this division pretty strongly. I can tell you right now, I think it's something drastic's going to have to happen for me to pick Canyon Springs in that game. But you're on the record okay. saying you're probably going to pick the Pioneers.
I am on the record. Could I give you this fact to maybe change your mind? Last year, when they had DJ Pumphrey, who got banged up a little bit, Canyon Springs lost four total games. What did they? How many points did they lose those games by combined?
I know it's going to be low, like 20-something?
17. They should have beat Green Valley. They let Green Valley back in the game with a late drive, and Connor Perkins drills some like 38-yard field goal that only maybe two other kids in town would make, Connor Perkins and Fitzgerald from over at Liberty. So I'm just saying that Green Valley, Canyon, 1A and 1B in the Northeast. Maybe Green Valley right now, August 25th or 6th or whatever today is 1A by a hair. We'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, I was also at one of those games last year, though, against Liberty. I think they lost by three, and it was really – it should have been a lot more than that. I mean, Liberty was I think yardage-wise, you would think – if you just looked at the box score and not the score, you would think Team A beat Team B by two or three touchdowns. Liberty made some mistakes, and Pumphrey just had some absolutely ridiculous runs to keep him in it. So
Pumphrey made up for a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, that's my larger point of why I was saying that, is Pumphrey could do some things that kept them in games maybe they shouldn't have been in. So we're going to have to see who gives them that advantage this year.
All right, now we move on to Silverado, the team that
Silv.
Well, he didn't put the name on there, so I had to put Silv.
Okay.
Silverado, a little bit of a question mark. They've done a good job in the offseason, absolutely loading up on transfer players. Justin Polo comes over from Liberty, a little bit of a surprise because his brother Jarvis is Liberty's best player. He's a junior. He's got an offer from Idaho. He's going to play both ways. 6'4", 295. Silverado, their strength case is they're huge. Freshman Tavita Moe, 6'3", 305. He's going to start right away. Legacy transfer Boy Villa, 6'1", 345. Nick Guzman, 5'11", 285. Mitchell Kazam, 6'4", 305. And then defensive end Billy Danford, 6'3", 315. Liberty's going to be big. Silverado is going to be absolutely big. They're not going to be afraid. You know they like to run the ball. My question is who's going to run it and who's going to play quarterback? And are these big kids in shape to go and play a full game? Are they going to be conditioned? Or is it going to be right away, it's going to take him a while to get into shape? Silverado's kind of underachieved the past few years. This is a chance for them to really do something. They have some horses. I just don't know if those horses are in shape yet.
Yeah, I think you bring up some good questions. And I think another kind of disadvantage they have is the first game of the year at Liberty. A rival, a tough game. I mean this not too seriously. You got to remember a disclaimer on Prep Sports Now. Everything we say is just kind of for fun. We're just trying to break down the team's grain of salt. But I'm hearing the Silverado hype. Fourth time in five years I've been here, I think, where everyone's like, I've talked to some people say, so Silverado's going to be a lot better. Silverado can make a run in the playoffs. They can do this. They can do that. It's hard for me sometimes not to roll my eyes because I hear about it all the time. And it seems like every year they're just kind of in the middle. They're not really great. They're not bad. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's just, it's hard for me to buy into their hype. I want to see it on the field this year. And I think we're going to have a pretty good idea what they open with Liberty and Foothill.
Yeah, and Andy O has told me that he thinks this team is as good as the hype and that he feels as confident about this team as his first year, which was before you got here, when they went undefeated in the regular season. Austin Hunt at tight end, 6'6", 225, is the Division I kid. And then they get this transfer, Rohan Walters from Cheyenne, 6'5", 300. He plays defensive end. Here's his problem, eligible for the first time, and it's going to take a while for him to kind of figure out what's going on. I think, and I don't want to talk about Silverado Liberty until they play, but I think Silverado might go through some of the same problems that we saw Liberty go through with guys just needing to get reps and to get on the field. But it's going to be interesting to see how they play. Can Silverado get to the ranks of Green Valley and Canyon Springs? If it happens against Canyon, I would think it's because Canyon traditionally isn't that good up front. But I think speed-wise, it won't be a match. I think at best, even with these new players, and I've been wrong before, Silverado is still going to have to do some work to get the one or the two seed.
Fair enough. I think best-case scenario, I think they could become the two. But like I said, I want to see it. I don't want to buy into the hype. So until I see something that I can concrete say they're going to get there, I'm picking them to be fourth in the league. I think that's a fair place
to
slot them.
You think the next team we're going to talk about, Vegas, is going to beat them?
And you know I'm perennially not that high on Vegas. But I think they have a little more coming back. And I think it's only fair to pick them above, even though last year they were in a great game and Silverado barely lost to Vegas, I think.
Barely
so
lost
Vegas was
Vegas.
The three and Silverado was the four. But Vegas, you've already alluded to him. I love Andrew Moreland, the running back at Vegas. I think the biggest thing is just give the kid the ball. I know this was a recurring theme on the podcast last year, but he's the leading returning rusher in the city. He's electric. He can do some special things. Just give him the ball. Let him. If I'm Vegas, I'm saying we're going as far as this kid is taking us. I know they have some good guys on the line. They're going to be able to block for him. I just want to make sure he gets his touches.
Here's the deal with Vegas. Their offense, the spread, is about those short little passes. So it's going to be more not how Andrew Moreland performs. It's how is Trevor Swanson, the quarterback, going to perform. I love Elias Miller at linebacker. I love Randy Ramirez at linebacker. I already told you about Jacob Littlefield. He's as good as they come by. He's just a junior. I think Vegas, and by the way, and this might be a topic for a whole nother time, Vegas got some new uniforms. Did you see those at all?
I did not.
Oh, my gosh, Kiefer. Let me pull one up here. Absolutely sick. I love the new Under Armour look. Motown Mojave got some new Under Armours, too. And Palo also got some Under Armours. So this is a day and age of new sexy uniforms. Liberty got some new Nikes. Gorman obviously looked great with those orange helmets on Friday.
Yeah, I understand there's going to be some pressure on
look at those,
Swanson.
Weren't those uniforms? Oh, hold on.
I saw them.
Don't tell me those aren't sick.
Yeah, they're good. I like them.
For me, a black uniform is just powerful. Look at that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Just nice?
You know, well, it's kind of throwing me off that the kid in the picture has a Nike swoosh on his helmet, right?
Well, it's so the kid can see. He's got a vision problem. What do you want?
Does Under Armour not have vision?
Well, this is a Nike helmet. All right. He's a Nike helmet guy.
I like the jerseys for sure. I'm more of a Nike guy myself.
Okay.
But
you like those new Liberty uniforms are sick.
I like them. Yeah.
You don't like the pants, though. Or who was I talking about the Liberty pants?
Sam, our photographer.
Sam didn't like the pants. I love the pants.
Yeah. All right. Swanson. I think that you're saying there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, and it's going to be how far he takes him. But I don't necessarily think so. I think who was the kid they had playing quarterback last year?
Swanson.
Oh, it was Swanson. Okay. Well, when I saw him last year, I felt like they were asking him to do a little too much. You say they're in the spread. It's going to be all on just him firing out these short passes. That's exactly how you can use Moreland. Throw him out into the flat. Give him screens. Make him like Brian Westbrook 10 years ago for the Philadelphia Eagles. You're not even asking Swanson to do too much. You just tell him to sit back and pat his stats and get Moreland the ball. I know I'm just repeating myself, but that's really offensively. I think that's got to be Vegas's game plan. It's just get Moreland
the ball.
It's like
when you have a great player, you want him to touch the ball at least 25 times a game. We'll talk about the lower league level, but Boulder City, if Xavier Stilton touched the ball 30 times a game, we need to have Alex in for a conversation because he's clearly going to be the best athlete on the field. In my humble opinion, I love the Wildcats. I think them and Silverado are going to fight it out for the 3 seed. Let's talk about Rancho. Tyrone Armstrong back and used to be the Mojave coach. And I will tell you this, one of my favorite guys, Tyrone, he is just laughs a minute. And let me give you this editorial comment. When a cool job opens like Desert Oasis, or at one of the top schools. Like every year, you know, it's Palo, Centennial, Arborview, Liberty, you know, schools with a lot of resources, a lot of players, right? When one of those jobs open, 10 people apply. People from out of state, people from all over. They want the keys to the Cadillac. When Rancho opens, who applies for the job?
Tyrone.
You know why? Because the guy takes pride in working with the type of kid that Rancho has. He likes to roll up his sleeves. He's already done a great job in getting them some resources with some new uniforms, some new tops, and he's got the kids believing in themselves. Now, I don't know how many games they're going to win, if they're going to win any, but I got to give Tyrone a lot of credit. He's a guy that's been at Vegas. He's a guy that's been at Mojave, took them to their first ever playoff berth. He's got a guy he sent a kid to the NFL once. He's a veteran coach who I think deserves all the credit in the world for what he's done by taking on this job at Rancho. Listen, Rancho lost his coach midway through last year. They're struggling with numbers. They don't have the resources. They've lost to Vegas 18 straight times or whatever it is. It takes a brave man to take that job. And I hope he turns it around. Let me give you some of their top players. Sean Spencer, Isaac Scott, Jacob Mitchell, Yazir Rebelando, I'm sorry with last names, and Quazani Cooper. Good luck, fellas. If you make the playoffs, Case and I'll bring some Little Caesar $5 pizzas over.
Not to be a downer, but this team is not making the playoffs. So you just made an easy.
They're not. I said if they win, we'll bring. I mean,
you said if they make the playoffs, they are not making the playoffs. There's zero chance. I wish them well. I know they're really secretive over there. They're not liking to give away much right now, so who knows what they'll come out with. I will say, if you watch one season preview video with the coaches we shot on LasVegasSun.com, make sure it's the Rancho Tyrone Armstrong one, as the guy sat in an awesome pose and didn't want to take off his sunglasses, so he's the movie star. Yeah, but that's also the problem, is Tyrone is the face of this team, not any of the players. I think they don't have any players. That's what
right
I mean.
Now. Okay.
That's the problem. That's why I'm not. I think Rancho goes winless this year. Hate to say it, but I think they're winless. That leaves us with Valley in this division.
Here's the deal with Valley. When this group was freshmen, they went 8-1 on the freshman level. With that said, they were beating Sunrise Mountain, Chaparral, El Dorado, Rancho. Not exactly a who's who of teams to beat. The players have progressed together up the ladder. Most of them played as sophomores on the varsity. You got Noble Hall, who's going to San Diego State. You've got Demetrius Oliver. You got Tyrone Pruitt. I was over there at Valley this offseason. I saw the kids working and training. Not a lot of them, but the players they do have seem to be bigger and faster. They think they could sneak up and maybe get by Vegas or maybe get by Silverado to get in the playoffs. To be announced if it's going to happen. But I promise you, nobody's going to run at Noble Hall because the kid's as good as advertised.
Sounds like you about wrapped it up. I think Valley is pencil them in for fifth in this division. I think they've won 2 games, something like 3 of the last 4 years, and I don't really see it being much more than that, even though they do have some talent. So I think that's pretty clear what we like in the Northeast of the Sunrise Division. So we'll move on to the Southeast. Always very interesting, and this year I think is no exception.
Yep, and I always call it the toughest league in town, and I guess you can make that argument this year, even though the Northeast is pretty solid. I think the question of the day is, could somebody beat Liberty? I told you about Noah Jefferson. I told you about Jarvis Polo. I told you about Reno Tufalui up front. Yosef Misalafu, Tyler Newman, all the young players. Could somebody between Foothill and Doc Stater, Coronado and Jackson Kofor, Basic and Antre Johnson, who could possibly be the region player of the year, could one of those three teams upend Liberty? If there's a year for Liberty to be down, I think this might be the year.
Yeah, I think certainly Liberty would be favored in all their games, regardless whether at home, on the road, whatever. But, I mean, those are three pretty good teams you just listed off, so I think one of them could get them.
I'm going to say Liberty, for me, still a shoo-in to win the league.
Well, I don't say shoo. I think that they'll probably – like I said, they're favored in every game, but I would not be surprised if they lost one. And you also forgot they got – out of all the guys you mentioned, they also have one – they have a big advantage in that they have a kicker.
Oh, Austin Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Great advantage.
They can make
– he did get one block, though, on Saturday.
All right, well
– a chip shot.
For the most part, against teams in this league, it's going to be nice to be able to bank on those points.
All right. Well, I guess let's talk about Foothill first. They've got the league's most notable player in Drew Dockstader, 6'2", 200-pound quarterback, Dylan Wiese on the defensive line. Those are guys that have been with the varsity team now for three seasons. Dockstader, of course, has been banged up each of the last 2 years. You know what happened last year, Case. He threw for three straight games of 450 yards or more with only one interception. The kid's got pinpoint accuracy. He's going to be able to create some things offensively. Bryce Broadwell at wide receiver could put up some huge numbers. Bobby Murrett, the running back, could be good as well. I don't know if Foothill 1 through 22 has capable players, though, to hang with Liberty, especially up front. I know they're going to be good, and I pick them to take number two in the Southeast behind Liberty. I'm real interested to see this Bobby Merritt kid at running back as a junior, and I really think whoever Dockstader is thrown to is going to have a big year. I think Dockstader, healthy from game one to game 12, could be great.
Yeah, let's certainly hope we get to see a full season's worth of work from Dockstader in his senior year, because we know how good he can be and the potential he has. He had a huge sophomore year, burst onto the scene, got hurt last year. But I'm excited to watch Foothill, too, and I tentatively put him into number two. I never know year to year what to expect from Foothill. It seems like we've been wrong on them a lot. So sometimes it seems like we think they're going to be good and they have a down year. Sometimes we think they're not going to be as good and they're great. So I think this year is going to be kind of interesting to watch them.
Remember, they were injured virtually all of last year. Every player of importance got hurt.
And they're playing a Utah team.
They're playing a Utah team to start this week. They're at Desert Hills of Utah to open it up on Friday.
Right, and then Vegas and Silverado. So some interesting games.
We'll know a lot more in a few weeks.
For sure.
Coronado Cougars. Last year, Talich's first year, they go to the state semifinals. The guy should have just retired. Hung up the whistle, bronzed it up, and called it a day.
What about – that's one of the things I might remember most about last season is that first TV game. They're beating Green Valley 108 – Silverado 118-0 at halftime or whatever. That was just insane. I thought that was going to be like a close game, like a pick'em, and Coronado in this new era just rocketed out of the gate.
Coronado, who was the perennial loser in that Southeast League, they'd won like – one or two league games in the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, we really said that they didn't have any speed, nor did they have any size. And what do? They went out and shocked the world. Now here we are. All those players that helped shock the world are pretty much not there anymore, except for Jackson Kofor, preseason all-sun, wide receiver, 6'1", 185. And they're breaking in a new quarterback, John Farrelly. We'll see how he does. Aaron Cotton at linebacker. Jackson Taylor up front on the D-line. And Tanner Gorski at wide receiver. Tanner's a little undersized, though. 5'8", 170.
Yeah, I
know Coronado ain't going to drop back to where they were pre-Talich, but there's no way they're in the semifinals again, right?
I wouldn't say no way. I mean, we could be surprised. I'd be pretty surprised if you'd have told me they were in the semifinals last year. So, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm so high on Green Valley, and I know you're going to combat this with, oh, they lost everyone. They got some guys back. They still beat Green Valley by, like, two touchdowns last year to get
Christian
to that semifinals
Lopez was
game.
Awful, though, in that game. It was his worst
game.
That
had something to do with the Coronado defense.
That did. You're right.
I mean, I thought that defense played well last year. I'm a Coronado is another team. I wouldn't be stunned at all if they come in second in this division. Like I said, Foothill to me is kind of a wild card. I don't know what's going to happen. I have Coronado. You might have them fourth. Do you have them fourth?
I think I'd pencil them into third right now.
I have
them third.
Okay.
I have them solidly at three. But if you think they could take second, I think they got a chance to hang with Liberty because that Liberty defense had several holes. I mean, they gave up 48.
Hey, well, just like I said, one of these teams could beat Liberty, and you told me Liberty was a shoe-in to go undefeated.
Well, I'm telling you right now, talent-wise, Liberty's got – there's no question about it. You're dealing with young players, Case. Anything could happen. Dude, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week.
So it's not a shoe-in anymore. I'm just trying to get you down on one side or the other. You can't keep straddling the middle.
I'm going to straddle the middle, and I feel comfortable doing it. I think Liberty's a shoe-in to win the Southeast. With that said, I think Coronado, if Coronado plays its best with this scrap heap of players that were on the JV or wherever they came from, that Liberty defense gave up 48. Now, I know the Tucson team is light years better than Coronado, and Coronado would have also lost big. But when you give up 48 points, you're not going to all of a sudden turn around and be Nebraska Blackshirt defense. So I'm straddling the middle.
It's just nice to have this rivalry and have it actually mean something with both schools being good. Last year, Coronado played Liberty really tough the first game and barely lost. But then in the playoffs, maybe Liberty's finest hour just destroyed Coronado.
Even after falling behind early 7-0.
So, yeah, there you go. That's an interesting one to watch. On next to Basic, who, man, I just pretty much said I have them in fourth, but now I'm looking at what they got back, and I love the top two players on this list. Antre Johnson, how could you not? Dynamic with what he can do on the field. And then right below him, and not really below him, I think these guys are kind of co-stars, that John Schofield is a beast. I mean, from all the games I watched last year, this kid hit as hard as anyone I've seen in high school football. Great defender and also can do some things offensively. I know he's going to get the ball some too.
My worry with Basic is not about those two players. In fact, I said that Antre has a chance to be player of the year. Had 18 touchdowns last year. Rushed for almost 1,000 with 13 touchdowns. Caught 30 passes for almost 600 yards and five more scores. Also returns kicks. This year he's going to play a little quarterback. If that dude goes down, though, they got nothing, man. I mean, skill position-wise, it's either unproven player or struggling to piece it together. And they appear to be a little small up front as well. For me, Basic's offense is always dynamic, no matter who you plug in there. But they need Antre healthy and to be awesome to have a chance. I mean, they've had an all-state receiver, I think, the last 4 years. That tells you that Basic is got it going on altogether. The funny thing for me, Case, is that you see every offseason kids going from school A to school B or looking for the best situation, right? Why doesn't anybody want to go to Basic? Is it too far?
That's my guess.
I mean, if I got a kid who plays running back, wide receiver, or quarterback, wouldn't I want him to play in Basic's offense? Dude, they score 50 points a game with no matter who they play back there. Robbie Fehman, Tyler Dobbins, whoever you want the quarterback to be. That guy throws for 300 a game, and they score all these points. All-state wide receiver every year. That offense is legit, bro. X-O-Y-Z, go down the field, catch the ball, touchdown. It's just they don't have the depth or the horses up front. Right. In my humble opinion, they're fourth at best.
All right. At best? No way. They're making the playoffs at least. Wouldn't be surprised if they're third or even second. Wouldn't be stunned either. I mean, I think the game with Foothill, the big rivalry, will be close. I think a lot's going to come down to how the defense performs. Chandler, Kamai, and Aaron Bashaw at linebacker. Going to need big years out of them.
And your boy Pale Lalelu.
Lalu?
I love the Polynesian names. I have no chance.
All right. The last two teams in this division, Del Sol and El Dorado.
Kind of like Rancho and Valley, right?
Yeah, seems like we're on the same page thinking they're going to be left out.
Gary Mackey takes over for Preston Gorf at Del Sol. Could you believe 5 years ago they made the state championship game?
I know. They were great that year.
Where has it all gone? I heard that Del Sol didn't look too good at camp this summer. Trent Miller plays running back and linebacker. His brother Troy was on some of the better teams.
He's on the state championship team. Well,
he was the quarterback.
Made the state championship game.
Leo De La Torre at tight end and DN. Aaron Williamson at free safety. Quincy Gibbons, Austin Higgins. Very anxious to see the new look Del Sol under Gary Mackey. The cool thing about them is not too many folks expect anything from them, so we'll see how it works out.
I'm going to pick Del Sol to come in last.
I agree with you.
Absolutely. I'm going to say El Dorado 5.
I agree 100% with you.
All right. El Dorado's goal this year is to make the playoffs. I just think it's going to be tough in this division, though.
It's a real tough division. it is real tough. The good news about El Dorado is that I really, 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 really like some of their top-end players. DeAndre Taylor at linebacker and Edgar Cisneros on the line. I've seen the guys. I can confirm that they're going to be good. This kid I really like, but I have no chance of saying his name. Give him some love, Keith.
Farete Tayuvale.
Tayuvale, my man. And, of course, there's Dallas Kavonski, the defensive end, and Taveri Shelton at DB. I think defensively, El Dorado is going to surprise some people. I really worry, though, if they're going to score some points. Moving on to the Sunset Region.
Northwest.
Northwest.
First. Another. I think you can make an argument that this could be the best league, too. Right?
No.
The top two?
The top two are great. The bottom four, work in progress.
The top two, though. And you know what we're talking about, Palo Verde and Arborview. Arborview finally breaks through last year to beat Palo Verde for the first time in school history. It was a huge deal for Arborview's program. It's kind of like their last big hurdle. They came back. I think they were down big in that game. I was there. Now the question is, can they do it again? It looks like it's going to be tougher because they lost a little bit, and Palo Verde has a lot coming back. You have Palo Verde ranked as the second-best team, and I don't necessarily disagree. I think I like Green Valley a little bit more. But
Here's what I got to say about Palo Verde. They went 7-5 last year. It wasn't a typical Palo Verde year. Remember, the 2 years prior, 2011 and 10, Palo had lost once in the playoffs to Gorman. Last year they go 7-5. They make a lot of mental mistakes. This year, Parker Rost, the coach's son and the senior quarterback, who's been around the program since he could crawl, tells me that they worked as hard in the offseason as they've ever worked, put in the extra hours. Jake Ortal, stud outside linebacker. Griffin Kemp, Josh Hamilton, Michael Hughes Jr. on the line, both ways, as good as they come. Michael Hughes Jr., absolute stud. Last year against Gorman, almost chased down Nace Tarks on a breakaway. Kid's got great speed. For me, I think Paolo is the clear class of the Northwest. I think they even give Gorman a good game in the playoffs on Turkey Day, Thanksgiving weekend. My humble opinion, I'm just one man. With that said, they lose Griggs and Bouye in the secondary. Don't know who they're going to have to replace there. Going to be some young players. You know what that means. And I don't know who's running the rock for them. They got to develop somebody.
I was telling Coach Ross this, but Jake Ortal seems like a guy that's been there for 7 years. This guy's eligibility ever up? Yeah. He's just been playing a lot since he's a sophomore, so big things expected for him his senior year. I'm kind of surprised that you're just shooing them in for the title. And I think just to be different, I'm going to go with the upset. And I'm saying Arborview is going to win this league again.
I disagree.
Arborview's got, I mean, they're just, I know they lost a lot, but man, they're just, they've got a good thing going on over there.
I think they've
got a good system. I think they've got a lot of guys coming up. Look at just the running backs they have coming back. I mean, Jacob Speaks, Anthony Smith, they lose Larry Norman to Green Valley, which I think is a huge blow because I really liked that kid, thought he had some talent. But they have also got the Turner kid at running back and Lonnie Sharp at fullback. Good offensive line. I think Palo Verde is probably the favorite, but I'm going to go Arborview.
Arborview is a top five team in our poll. They go to the playoffs now every year. They win a playoff game every year. They're somehow – the Final Four, I don't care how you slice and dice it, is going to be Gorman, Centennial, Arbor, and Palo playing each other somehow. I don't care how you rearrange the leagues, what you do. The Final Four, Gorman, Centennial, Arbor, Palo. Slice and dice it however you want.
Well, you have Legacy ahead of Centennial in the top 10.
I do.
So I don't know how you can just say for sure that's what's
going to
happen.
Well, this is a down year for Centennial, but the last 4 years, it's been that way.
Okay, I thought you meant this year.
My thing with Arborview, I like Anthony Smith. I like Jacob Speaks. It's just, I think they have a lot of good players, which you need, but I don't think they have any great players. I don't think they have anybody that could really take the game over.
You hearing this, Aggies? I hope you guys are listening. You have no one that could take the game over.
No. I mean,
no one. You got no chance. Don't even show up against Palo Verde. They're so much better than you.
Okay. I mean, you said it. I mean, I think Palo Verde makes a statement this year against Arbor and really puts it to them.
I don't. I just think this is a lot closer than I think this is a lot closer than you might think. And the game, I actually don't have a schedule in front of me, but it should be at Arbor this year. It was at Palo
last
year.
It's the last game of the year, yeah.
At Arbor, which is, I think, an advantage. I know we disagree on this very much, but I think it's going to be big to have them at home, and I think Arbor's going to win that game. I think I'm picking Arbor to win the division, but I think we can be in agreement that no one other than Arbor or Palo is going to win it.
They're 1A and 1B, and we'll figure out how it pans out when the year goes on.
All right, so is Durango 3?
No, Durango for me is 6.
Okay. that was a wild guess. I don't really – you're going to have to run it down. Who's 3? Sierra Vista? Ridge?
I got Sierra Vista – here's how I go. Sierra Vista, Shadow, Spring, Durango.
Yeah, I know Sierra Vista's got a new coach
awful.
And got some talent. John but there's Foss. No way I'm going Sierra Vista 3.
I just think with he's bringing over the Arbor system, and I think when push comes to shove, he could beat Shadow, he could beat Durango, and he could beat Spring to get to the 3.
All right, I'm going to go Shadow and Durango and the other two playoff spots.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Sierra since I like him at the 3. Malik Brady at running back, Octavius Payne at quarterback, Kalib Styles up front on the line.
Caleb.
DJ, help me out here.
DJ LaShaw.
LaShaw. I just think Sierra Vista is going to take the 3. I've drank in the John Foss juice. I think he's going to be a great addition as the coach.
Yeah, fair enough. I know there's some reasons to be up, but for Sierra Vista's prospects. But I just year after year seeing Sierra Vista lose big games, I can't go with them at the 3. But Shadow Ridge has been kind of surprising, right? They've won some games. I know they had to have some. Was it just last year where they had to vacate some wins?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was Bakari Smith. In my opinion, he was so good. At quarterback, who's going to replace Bakari on offense? Jay Henderson, their linebacker, probably the one guy we missed on our preseason All-Sun team. He's a physical force. Trey Forrest on the lines both ways. Jordan Larson, Cody Alflair, and Eric Peoples. I think they might have a chance. Again, I just think push comes to shove. I like Sierra Vista a little better.
All right, I'm going to take Shadow Ridge. Which brings us to Spring Valley. Man, just a few years ago, Spring Valley was kind of on the rise, one of the teams that always made the playoffs, and now it seems like it's kind of an uphill battle every year for them.
Spring Valley's still the last team to beat Gorman in the regular season from Las Vegas.
That's their claim to fame. I think you say that every week.
And I also say, have you seen the athlete at Spring Valley?
Yeah.
Off the charts. Tyler Stevens, linebacker, offensive line. Marquise Bell might be a little undersized at wide receiver. Michael Bianco at running back. Spring Valley is going to go represent Las Vegas at the little event in Idaho. We wish them luck.
All right, and that brings us to Durango, who I can't believe you have at sixth. I mean, I know they probably don't have a lot coming back. They lost their two leaders last year that we had a lot out of. But the bottom line is this is still a pretty well-coached team with Matt Gerber over there. And I think they're going to sneak into the playoffs. They might be the sacrificial Gorman.
Well, numbers is always a problem, or is a problem right now at Durango. LeVar Colbert, Matt Grita, how do you say that? The weird part is I know this kid's family real well.
Then you should know how to say it because I don't.
Well, I just call his dad was my little league coach.
Oh, what do you call him then?
I call him Coach Marty, his dad. I wasn't going to say that last name.
All right, well, Matt Marty's son is going to be a great tight end this year.
Gruta Daria.
Yeah, Gruta Daria.
No clue.
Marty's son.
Marty's son. Pedro up front, Abrego. And
someone else's son.
And Josh Johnson is going to be the replacement of Marcus Williams.
Hopefully he does better than his namesake for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, he's not quite the guy that's going to have to replace Jordan, but you get the picture.
Right.
So we'll see how Durango does. The thing with the Northwest, it's Arbor and Palo and then everybody else. I like Sierra Vista first. You seem to like Shadow first. And we'll see how
I like Shadow and maybe even Durango. Watch out for this Durango team. They could be better than you think. I've pointed out some sleepers in past years. Maybe this year Durango can be the
bro. They're taking out of nowhere. They'd have to come out of a coma to come out to do that. Division 1A.
Well, we're not going to do the Southwest with Gorman.
Oh, why don't we do the Southwest? That's on me.
We've already kind of talked about Gorman, but anything else you want to add about looking for the out for the Gales this year?
Well, here's the deal. A lot of people were, Randall Cunningham, new quarterback. We'll see how he pans out.
Lost Nathan Starks.
Lost Isaiah Nakua. Still have a ton of quality players. Randall, for me, you got to remember, he played JV as a freshman, didn't play as a sophomore, played scrap-up minutes as a junior, and then Friday night played a game on national television. I think he's going to develop. He'll be just fine. And the one thing a lot of people didn't see that I got to see because I was down on the field, that dude took a beating, and he got up every time. Even one play, his helmet got knocked off, and he kept getting up, showed a lot of strength and courage, and I think he showed the ability to run when he's able. I keep touching this thing on the microphone. I apologize.
It sounds really bad in the headphones, so I'm sure it's going to sound bad on the audio too, but we apologize.
When Randall gets more comfortable, I think he's really going to be able to kill people running. His receivers didn't do him many favors, dropped a few balls there. They've got to get Alize Jones, top tight end in the nation, involved in the offense. Coach Sanchez said that after the game. I think with Gorman, you just have to look at their line, and you've got Nick Gates with the Alabama offer, Zach Singer, four-year players starting both ways, Tryson Mook, huge, Jackson Perry, 6'3", 290 junior, who could be one of the better linemen to come out of Gorman. Every position, Amon Perry, Arizona State, Terrence Chambers had the interception, and he brings speed to the lineup. Daniel Stewart returned a kick for a touchdown. Gorman's got a ton of players. Mountain Point was just better on Friday by 7 points. And it's going to take a while for, I think, Gorman's new offense. They lost Solomon, Smith, Tillman, Starks. You just don't replace four D1 guys like that. And I think a lot of people thought, because it's Gorman, that they're going to be able to just do it like that. They're human. It didn't work out. They're going to be fine when they open league play the second week in October.
Yeah, and this should be this weekend against Servite. Maybe this is a chance to get them back on track now that some of those kids have played, have gotten a little bit of experience. I think that'll be interesting to watch. I think you've pretty much just wrote the book on Gorman. I don't know how much I can add. I did think they were going to beat Mountain Point, is that it?
I thought
for the little bit I looked at it, I thought they were going to win this weekend. So a little disappointing they're starting 0-1. I know from talking to some of the players and coaches over there, they really would like to have that undefeated season, even with the tough schedule, and it looks like it's not going to happen for another year. So I think that's probably a little disappointing. I mean, how do they bounce back from that?
When you schedule six out-of-state games, it's tough to think you're going to go undefeated. I don't know if you had a chance to watch high school football this weekend, but the Booker Washington team out of Miami that's coming here in the end of September, they won like 55-0, and that team was legit quick. Like,
so hopefully Gorman matures a little bit for that game.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, I don't see any way Gorman winning that game unless we – you know, find a way to, I don't know. I'm no idea how they win that game, to be honest with you.
All right, so the rest of the division, I think you said it earlier, starts with Centennial or even Legacy. I think you can make a case for Legacy being the second best team. I think you kind of have.
I think every year you and I pick a team that we kind of attach on to that we think has the potential to do something good, and sometimes we go off on a limb and do it. The safe bet would be Centennial as the two. I'm taking Legacy. I think Casey Hughes at running back is – he's got offers from, like, Oregon State, Utah, Army, UNLV. I love the kid. I think he's a great player. I think if he gets the rock a lot, they're going to have a chance to do some great things. And I just think that with everybody that Centennial lost – I mean, and they lost, like, everybody except maybe two guys – that Legacy could sneak up. And I'm crazy because Legacy only won four games last year. But Devin Williams, Matthew Sink, Zach Lugris, I think they got a good nucleus. Is it enough to beat Centennial? We'll find out. I'm going out on a limb. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, I'm going with the safe bet in Centennial. I mean, look, anyone that follows high school football and didn't have Lance Worthington as one of their favorite players last year is going to this year. The guy is very, very fast, shifty. I mean, I can throw every adjective out for this guy. I think he's going to really lead Centennial this year. And they got some good pieces on defense, too, even though they're young. Toby Lopez, an all-Sun team member in the preseason.
Who led the world in tackles last year.
Yeah. I like Centennial. I can't pick against them at two. I'm going to go them two. I'll probably go Legacy three.
All right. I could agree with you. We agree that Gorman's going to win the league.
And that none of the rest of the teams have a shot to beat them at
okay.
all.
Okay, and we agree that the two is going to be Centennial and or Legacy, and we agree that the three is going to be Centennial and or Legacy, correct?
Right.
We could agree that the six will likely be Dio. Okay, Dio got gutted. They lost a lot of players to Liberty. They returned Blake Cutts. 5'10", 215 at fullback. Gary Abdallah at wide receiver. Richie Stamati at quarterback. And Jaquez Khalili at running back. We'll see how they do. I'm not expecting much from Dio. I think they're going to take six.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So I guess it comes down to who do you like better, Bonanza or Cimarron Memorial?
I'll take Bonanza.
God, I wanted to take Bonanza too, but I wanted to be different. But I just love Javian Taylor. I feel like under a new coach, some new schemes, I think maybe he'll have more of a chance to shine this year.
Javian was great as a sophomore, not used as a junior, and pretty disappointed and upset and ready to go as a senior. But it's more than him. You know, Jordan Knapp has got an offer from Weber State up front. Carlos Soto is quality. Tyler Penkalowski, these last names, I'm awful. I apologize to all the families, and Scott Dorr. I think Bonanza and new coach Kevin Volsick is going to figure out he's like you and me. When you have Javion Taylor, you get him the rock, and you get him the rock often. As Javion goes, so do they.
Sounds about right. Cimarron, I think you got to be careful not to just totally write them off.
Who would have thought Cimarron, a perennial power, a traditional powerhouse, Greg Spencer, Cimarron Spartans, they just don't have the horses, Case.
Yeah, I still think they could sneak into the playoffs. I think it'll be a close race for that four.
Frank Tito on defense, John Nelson on defense, Michael Barnton running the rock, Wayne May, We'll see how the Spartans of Cimarron Memorial handle it. Listen, we're almost in an hour here on Prep Sports Now. If you're with us still, we'd like to thank the Department of Public Safety. Make sure you guys have smart driving. Thanks to them. Also, we should have mentioned this in the beginning. Keith, we'll do it next week. If you're at a game, send us your photo using the hashtag SunStandout on Twitter. That way, we could get it on the website. Photos on game day using the hashtag SunStandout. Case, Division 1A, Moapa Valley is Bishop Gorman, correct?
Not quite to that level, but yes. I think if you look at the scoring margins, I don't think they're going to quite be Bishop Gorman. But they're the best team, the best program.
Leader in the clubhouse, without a doubt.
Yeah,
they play Cheyenne Thursday, a game we wanted to see last year. Either way, I think Moapa is the team to beat. We'll start with them. Matt McDermott up front offers from UTEP, UNLV, 6'5", 270. He'll play both ways like everybody in this league does. The kid is big and strong, and he's experienced. Jared Rep at running back. Justin Hughes at running back. Jordan Groh on the line. Listen, they're in the state championship game every year, 8 of the last 9 years. They've ran into a Truckee team that's just been a powerhouse. They're like 48-1 or something the last 4 years. Truckee might be down a little this year. I'm taking Moapa not only to win the league by going undefeated, but to win the state championship.
I think you picked Moapa to win the state championship at least last year, maybe the last 2 years too, though.
I did. Listen, Truckee has been the absolute beastly powerhouse. They lost a lot. They got a new coach. Hit the reset button at Truckee a little bit. Even though our guy, Keith Thomas, Lake Tahoe guy, loves them, I'm telling you right now, I love the Pirates of Moapa Valley, just like I love the Pittsburgh Pirates.
And look at these last names. I think the first names are different, but I feel like it's the same families every year to watch out for on Moapa Valley. Hughes, you got Justin Hughes this year. Sam Rebman, Jared Rep, Rep Hughes Rebman. Those names just sound familiar to me. I think that they got guys coming through every year.
My second team is Desert Pines. Wilkes at tailback. They were awesome, Case, at the UNLV passing tournament. New coach Tico Rodriguez for DP. I still think athlete-wise, they're top three players for me, make them a serious threat to Moapa Valley. I know the games are won up front in the line, and Moapa is better on the line than Desert Pines, but DP's three athletes make them the clear two in the league, also make them a threat, I think, that makes them noise. I always said that Desert Pines is going to be the class. Eric Wilkes at running back, Tim Huff at wide receiver, who's a D1 wide receiver, and small but quick Malik Davis, 1, 2, and 3 in the program, 1, 2, 3 in your hearts, a serious threat to Moapa, the clear two, and I'd be afraid to play him if I was anybody in that league.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have a boost from Coach name escapes me now. You just said it.
Tico Rodriguez.
Tico Rodriguez, guys, he's fiery. He's ready to go. I think the kids are going to perform for him, and I think early Coach of the Year candidate if they live up to what you're saying they are.
I agree with you. A little curious on Virgin Valley. D. Bowler comes back at wide receiver, running back, slash linebacker all over the field. He's as good as it comes in that division. Garrett Levitt at quarterback is going to throw the rock around to Dylan Graves, who's going to be a great wide receiver. And Devontae Milligan could have a breakthrough year. I think Levitt, Graves, and Milligan throwing the rock around for the Virgin Valley of Mesquite Bulldogs makes them a solid three, Case Kiefer.
Yeah, Virgin Valley. Last year I felt like they were going to be a lot better than they ended up being. They started it the year hot, but
they disappointed, baby.
They disappointed a little bit by the end, but this year back for another try. And I think you're about right. I think they'll be somewhere in the middle. I think three is probably the safe choice, though.
Three is a safe choice. We're getting a little tired on our first Prep Sports Now. We're not in shape. And let me tell you, when you go out to your first game, you know how we walk up and down the sideline to track the stats?
Yeah.
That Gorman game, dude, I'm like exhausted. I'm like literally out of shape from walking 100 yards. Fourth, I like my Chaparral Cowboys. just because they're my Chaparral Cowboys. Bubba Dukes on the D-line is great with the capital G. Mark Jones, Jerome Williamson, the quarterback, Damian Guthrie. I promise you this, Chaparral will not get pushed around. They will be the strongest. Does strength translate into victories? We could talk about it ad nauseum when we pick games later on. Shap at best the four, just because I think the other teams are more polished.
Yeah, I shouldn't have signed off on Virgin Valley being the 3X. I think, God, there's still some – I didn't have the division in front of me. There's still some good teams in here. I think Shap is going to be okay this year. I could see them being the 4, but the next team I could see being the 3, Boulder City. Had a kind of a breakthrough year last year. I think they were like 9-2. Beat some good teams, beat Virgin Valley, who we just penciled into 3. I'm actually going to take back my word and put Boulder City number 3 behind Xavier Steele, the most exciting player to come through BC, in my opinion, in many years.
Okay, Boulder City, here's the deal. Xavier Steele is like your boy Andrew Moreland. He's got to get the ball more. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, give him the ball.
Okay, significantly undersized Boulder City. Lacking numbers.
I mean, they are playing in the 1A. None of these teams are huge.
I know. If you thought Centennial lost a lot of seniors, Boulder City loses a lot of seniors as well. They even had one other player they lost this summer. We'll see how Jackson Dunnigan and Dylan Branch and Sam Woodbury, whose grandfather my middle school is named after, and he seems like to be a nice kid at cornerback. We'll see how they do. I think it could be a down year. I got Boulder at 5, whatever you have them at, Case.
They finished 2nd last year. Wouldn't be stunned if they went 2nd again, but you've sold me on Desert Pines, so I'm going to go 3.
Okay. I've sold myself on Desert Pines every year. I pick them high every year. Sunrise Mountain, we know their story. They've won 1 game in 5 years of existence. Last year they beat Western. Sherman Nash, running back. Trey Smith, strong safety. Daryl Govan. I think everybody in town wants Sunrise Mountain to make the playoffs, even the teams they play against. You could only lose so long before it starts to get to you.
Yeah, I respect what they're trying to do over there, but not happening. I don't see the playoffs this year. Let's finish off with the sunset of the Division 1A. My big question for you, is Mojave the team to beat?
I don't know. This, I can't bring myself to say it just because – Mojave never beat Cheyenne. I mean, this is Chi-Town, baby. Speed, power. I know they lost Milo Lewis, but they still have Demetrius Jones, Jordan Johnson, Deontay Perkins, Terry Dodd, Martell Evans, guys that could play, guys that are going to be quick. I don't think they beat Moapa Thursday just because Moapa is going to be prepared. They know how to handle the early season. But I think by time league play rolls around, the Cheyenne bus will be rolling full head of steam. Remember, they should have beat Truckee last year. They could have been state champions. And this is Cheyenne. This is Cheyenne's league. And, you know, they're Liberty. They're not – until they get beat, they're still one in my heart.
All right. I'm going different than you. I'm going to take Mojave to win this year. I think what they did last year was impressive. They got guys coming back. They're motivated. That's going to be a huge game. They play October 11th. We'll have to see if they slip up against anyone they shouldn't before then, both Mojave and Boulder City. But Mojave and Cheyenne, excuse me.
Mojave made the playoffs last year for the first time. I mean, for the second time, won their first game, and then they gave Moapa Valley a little bit of a scare in the semis.
A lot of a scare. Wasn't it like a... It was field a good goal game.
It was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just remembering too much of that, but I like this Mojave team. 2 of their 3 losses last year in the regular season were in overtime. In the 3rd against Boulder City, they lost by 3. They opened with Boulder City again on Friday, hosting Boulder City. I've already said I was going to pick Boulder City. Well, I'm flipping it now. I'm looking at this team. I like Mojave. I don't care. I think they're one in the sunset. I think they've got – I mean, Ty Flanagan is a stud.
Stud.
Got Marcus Parker.
Their quarterback, Zach Arave, is back.
Zach Arave, yeah. I mean,
he's a junior now.
I'm writing it in. Mojave to win the sunset.
All right, we'll see how they do.
Who's 3?
Well.
Because I would have definitely said Faith Lutheran before this first game. I really liked what Vernon Fox had brought to the program. And Keenan Smith, I think, is going to do big things for them. He did have one big play in their only touchdown. Disappointing 35-7 loss to Lutheran Colorado who they really hung with last year. So that's like stands out to me, but I still think I got to go Faith Lutheran 3.
I agree with you. I think that Smith, just like Randall Cunningham, showed a lot of courage, ran for the big touchdown, had more than 100 yards, got beat up carrying the ball. Even though Faith Lutheran lost, they hung with them. And let's be honest, between Western Pahrump and Clark, not much expected. This league is pretty bad, and that's why I think Faith has got a solid chance to get a good playoff seed.
Pahrump Valley going to make the playoffs 2 years in a row. How about that? Crazy. That's what I really think. A.J. Segura at quarterback.
That kid has been on the team talking about Ortolan eligibility. Segura's been there forever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, Pahrump Valley, 2 years in a row in the playoffs. I don't care how bad the league is. That says something when they had lost like 875 games in a row or something when I got here. Right. I think it was more like 68, but they hadn't won in forever. I think they're probably going to beat out Clark and Western, but it'll be tough. I mean, those games could be competitive. Clark, always well-coached, always disciplined, but, God, they just don't have many kids.
They don't. I really like Don Willis, Benson Joseph at the defensive end, Milan Dixon at running back, Tyreek Wells, Corey Corral. Say that four times and put a smile on your face. I hope Clark gets in the playoffs because they haven't been there in like 12 years, and I'd love to go write the story because I love great eight schools that were around when I was.
And then Western to round
off. God bless
them
for trying.
See if they can win a game. Xerxes Tachiquan.
Say
I said that probably
times.
Terribly, but they're going to go as far as he takes them. I mean, this kid running back fast, speedy. I think as long as he gets some blockers, maybe he can have a nice year.
Folks, we're going to close the podcast now. Usually we'd give you our picks, but we're an hour plus in. We thank you for listening. We remind you to be smart out there while you drive, Department of Public Safety. And if you're at a game, send us your photo using the hashtag the hashtag SunStandOut at Las Vegas Sun on Twitter. We'll put it on our site. Have a fun year. Gorman's still a favorite to win state. I guess we didn't even talk about that.
Well, yeah, we're both picking Gorman to win state.
And Moapa? Gorman and Moapa?
I'm going Truckee.
No way.
Yeah. They win every year. That's how could you go
it's
against
down
them? I'm
year.
Going Truckee.
They might not even win their first game, but it's fine.
Make sure you check out the high school football page for the picks. We promise we'll be back with the full slate of picks next week.
And we'll be better next week, too.
All right. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now, Episode 1, over.